is the Friends Are Forming Animation Forum.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, for another episode of our, podcast. Comedy podcast about animation that gives you information about animation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Joel Frenzer.
And I'm Alan Forman.
If you are new to our podcast, you might be thinking, I am going to turn this off right now. So far, nothing has been said. Yeah, go ahead. We'll give you time.
I dare you.
If you're still with us, you are now in for a treat. Because this is an auspicious event right now.
Why? I don't understand.
Not only are we feeling auspicious ourselves, I am in awe of things that are spicious.
Yeah, you are.
And my eye sees things that are spacious. We have been leading up to this very moment for many episodes.
Yeah.
I think even a year ago we mentioned that this might happen.
Yeah.
On the very last episode, Alan Forman, as you recall,
of course,
we said, wait, people. Oh, just wait for a big announcement.
That's right.
That time is in a little bit. But first,
can we just do it
all right, that time is now. Time is now.
All right, give it to him.
Alan Forman.
Yeah.
I am pleased to say that you and me and this podcast, the Friends Are Forman Animation Forum, is now online on its brand new site. Official launch, computer.
Oh, yes.
Dance music. Hoedown music. Oh, silent theme music. Oh. It's you create the theme music for those. Ready for this? Everyone, grab a pencil, grab your Wacom tablet, grab a blood and a needle. This is the new site address, FFAFcast.com.
Favcast.com.
Favcast.com!
Yeah. And I gotta say, Joel, it looks beautiful. You did a great job.
Thank you. And I would like to say, thanks to Sam Forman.
Sam Forman, my brother.
No relation, but your brother. For his help in computer activities and all things web-related.
Yeah.
Because he was such a help, and he deserves a big round of applause. Post-applause.
Yeah, do it.
So, on the site, you might be going there right now. On the site, not only can you hear each episode, but you can subscribe to iTunes.
That's right. We're on iTunes now, baby.
And get every episode
automatically downloaded
directly to your iPod, Pad, BlackBerry, or other device.
Yeah, or iTunes on your computer.
Or iTunes on your computer, but on FFAFCAST.com,
Favcast.com,
you can also check out our About page. Our booking page. Check out the things that we can do for you.
Yeah.
Also, there's
full bios on
full
Joel
bios.
And me.
Yeah. Find out factual things about the facts of what we are.
Yeah.
And in addition to
you tell.
No, Alan, you go.
No,
Alan, you take this part.
No, you tell.
I'll take this part.
No, I want you to do it. I want you to do it.
In addition,
yeah,
there's also news.
News. That's right.
Photos coming soon. Contact page.
Yeah.
There are episode topics. The cloud.
Yeah.
A cloud topic cloud.
Yeah.
And also, there's a store.
That's right. Good.
You can check out the FFAF store. Where you can buy t-shirts.
Mugs.
Beer steins.
Keychains.
Llama sweaters.
Buttons.
Spaceship hood ornaments.
Yeah, it's all there.
Everything is right there for purchase, and every cent goes right back into the podcast to make it the best comedy podcast about animation that's out there in the universe.
Yes, that's our goal.
So,
wow, that's a lot of stuff.
You are welcome.
Yeah.
All listeners and all future listeners. So, let's get right to it.
Yeah, what are we
going to do? Now, we could just end there and say, Show done.
Over.
Blah. We've done a lot.
Tired.
Tired. Satisfied.
Time,
satiated.
Margarita time.
Let's just take a break. But no.
We're going to go. We're going to keep going.
We're going to keep going. We're going to continue with the diversity of animation guests and subjects that you've come to love with animation's very own Linda Beck.
Yeah.
Producer.
Yeah.
Entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Animator.
Uh-huh.
President.
That's right. She's the new president of Asifa East.
Asifa East.
That's right.
She's trying to bring back the whole East Coast, West Coast rivalry.
I know, she is.
But
she's
going
to blow it up.
Alan.
What?
If you keep going Asifa East, yeah, you know where you get?
Where?
Asifa West.
That's right. Wow, man. It's like a snake eating its own tail.
It's like a yin eating its own yang.
Probably, yeah.
So, computer?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's bring in Linda Beck.
Linda.
Here we are. Here she is. Hi, Linda. Coming
Hi.
In. How are you?
Hi. I'm very well, thank you.
Are you tickled?
I'm tickled.
Okay. You look kind of slightly tickled, a little unsure, and definitely confident.
Affirmative.
Okay. That was perfectly succinct.
That was a nice answer.
Alan is very happy to have you here.
I'm thrilled.
As am I.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me.
Do you realize, before we get into your whole backstory, who you are, what you do, you were at the very inception of the Frenzer Forman Animation Forum podcast.
It's kind of her idea.
Basically, we were, this is the scenario. Do you remember Ottawa?
I do, and I remember seeing you two clowns with your microphones,
yeah,
and lots of pumpkin ale.
Yes, yeah. We were surrounded by pumpkin parts. I was passed out head
socks
in half
for,
of a jack-o'-lantern.
Socks for hands.
I didn't have any gloves. It was 30 degrees. I took off my own socks, put them on my own hands, put them into new pumpkins, so I couldn't really hold anything. And there you were, Linda Beck, looking at us, shaking your head, eyes looking up to the heavens, saying, "Why?" And we said, "We don't know." And you said, find out. And that's what started the entire thing.
Yeah.
Find out
so
why.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Is that really nonfiction?
Word for word.
Mm-hmm.
Event to event.
If it's all a fallacy, I want to believe that really and truly
Please,
that's...
Please, language. Watch your language.
What happened?
Tell us what you thought about that moment, seeing us doing that and you doing what you were doing.
I thought it was great. I thought it was awesome. I love the other animation podcast that you can get on iTunes. The one that's called the Animation Podcast.
Wait, what? Another animation podcast.
I was going to say the aforementioned, but not to be mentioned, animation podcast. Great. Very fictional, very librarian, and I love it for that.
Fictional?
The geek in me. I mean, sorry, non-fictiony and librarian style. I love it for that. And I knew seeing you guys, knee deep in pumpkin parts and with cups full of beer and fun, wacky people around you, I knew that that was going to fill a different niche, and I was very excited about that.
Thank you. Thank you. Has it fulfilled the fill?
It has fulfilled my wildest dreams.
Okay. Wow.
Wow.
Nice.
Okay.
Up top,
that's exactly what we're going for.
My wildest podcast dreams.
Nice.
Yeah. Your wildest animation podcast dreams?
Yes,
gotta
indeed.
Gotta turn on a fan in here.
Linda Beck.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us a brief bio synopsis of you and what you do and how you got here?
I'm not
who
sure.
Who are you and who is your daddy?
I'm not sure how interesting it'll be, but I'll say this. My kind of doorway into the animation world was a kind of perfect storm of timing and people and quick decisions. I started taking classes at, continuing ed classes at SVA. I took a storyboarding class and a key poses class. And in the key poses class taught by Don Duga, he said, really, Linda, you really should get involved in Asifa East. And so I said, okay, what's that? And I had met Dave Levy, and I,
friend
you know,
of the show.
From what?
Yeah, friend of the show.
Friend of the show, indeed. Friend of everybody. And I had met him, and I sent him an email saying, you know, is it okay if I come to a board meeting? And in my storyboarding class, which was the other class I was taking, I met Will Krause. And I thought, well, he's a swell fellow. And so I was at an ASIFA event, and I ran into Will Krause again and started talking to him, and he looked at me cross-eyed like he'd never seen me before in his entire life. And I quickly realized...
That's just how he looks.
Yes. No.
You got glasses, finally.
I was being swindled by... twins. Mm-hmm. And so so it turned out that it was Fran Krause. And so then it was great. Yes, also friend of the show.
Yes.
Both of them have been guests.
Mm-hmm.
And I then all of a sudden had two animation friends instead of just one, with the same last name, which was easier to remember.
Just to rewind a second, explain to people who don't know what ASIFA is.
So ASIFA is an international organization about animation and animation events, people, business, history, all kinds of animation related things.
And the acronym is for a French saying, right?
Yes.
A French list of words.
Do you know it? Do you know the list?
I do.
I've got to be honest. I'm testing you a little bit.
I know.
Wow.
Because as some people may or may not know, Linda is the incoming president of ASIFA East.
And I like getting your citizenship.
I think that deserves a round of applause, Joel, and audience, studio audience.
It was a tough campaign. I know it was a lot of fundraising.
A lot of baby kissing.
A lot of handshaking, a lot of elbow bumping. But like getting your citizenship, you need to know your facts. So go ahead. Tell us the French translation.
It is the Association Internationale du Film d'Animation.
God, it makes animation sound so
sexy.
Amazing. Sexy.
If,
I know.
If you ignore my horrible French accent, yes.
Okay.
So that is what ASIFA is. It's international, but there are chapters. And there are chapters internationally. So there's, you know, there actually is an ASIFA Iraq, which is cool. And there's an ASIFA Egypt, but there's also, you know, ASIFA, it started out as ASIFA East and ASIFA West. And I think ASIFA East was formed, I believe, in 1965. And ASIFA West then became ASIFA Hollywood. We all know ASIFA Hollywood. They have the Annie Awards every year. And ASIFA East remained ASIFA East. So I know there's ASIFA Atlanta, ASIFA Portland, ASIFA East, ASIFA Hollywood. They're talking about forming one for the Massachusetts area, but we generally serve, you know, kind of the tri-state area. And
states are in that tri-state?
Mainly the people that we kind of branch out, you know, to the Connecticut region because we have Blue Sky people.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Connecticut now, right? Mm-hmm. I'm right about that?
And Fox Animation.
Yep, and Fox Animation. And then we get, we go down pretty much the furthest south we go is Maryland. And then, you know, I think we top off like upstate New York.
I'm so excited that ASIFA was brought up, ASIFA East, because we're going to delve into all of the specifics.
All right.
Yeah.
The joys, the wonders, the benefits.
Mm.
But Linda Beck, you're here. Perhaps you could tell us how you got from where you grew up, how you got into animation, and how it brought you to New York City.
Oh, all right. This is a longer story, which I will try my best to make brief. So I actually went to school in Virginia at James Madison University for theater. And I got into school with an art scholarship for my portfolio, and also I got pulled in through the theater department. So I very quickly kind of realized that having a double major, I mean, they warned me of this, was going to be very, very hard because theater takes a lot of outside time. I mean, it's not just rehearsal. You also have to spend a lot of time memorizing and, you know, doing your research and things like that and your own dramaturgy. And then,
I love that word.
Who?
It's a great word, right? Dramaturgy.
Study of the theater.
I don't care for it.
Study of, yeah, words, language, references within the context of the play, things like that. And then, and voice lessons, things like dance lessons, all kinds of craziness. And then, you know, with the art thing, it takes a little time to draw.
Whose voice did you learn for that?
Whose voice did I learn?
Yeah. Was it like a Sam Rockwell? Was it like a George Cukor?
Meaning I was trying to sound like those people?
Like a Linda Blair?
Yeah, I tried a lot to sound like Linda Blair as much as possible.
Yeah.
Doing, you know, Chekhov and Sam Shepard, but and, as Linda Blair.
Yeah. Projectile vomiting.
Fuck your mother.
It's in my special talents on the bottom of my resume. Projectile
like stage
vomiting.
Fighting?
Yeah.
Projectile Linda Blair vomiting?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But that took up a lot of time, and so did you know the and I mean you don't just take art classes, as you well know. You also have like hours and hours of studio art time that you have to spend, and the classes aren't just an hour; they're 4 hours long. And unfortunately, my first art classes were landscape classes, and I loathe drawing landscape.
I don't loathe it. Me too.
I just prefer to draw other things.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you draw a lot more than I do. And what do you draw primarily?
People.
People faces? People bodies?
The people.
Yeah.
I would draw groundscapes. So most people will look to a horizon and draw the landscape. I just look down. Draw the ground. Like
gum,
earth, like
trash.
Terra firma scapes. Just of the floor beneath my feet, wherever that might be.
Okay, so anyway, so...
But that's called cheating, and
that's
not...
That's called personal brilliance.
That's called the drop-down menu for pass-fail.
Oh my god, wielding so much power. I love it. Oh my god.
Because, awesome. I mean, you know, basically the whole point, obviously, was perspective and things like that, and, you know, all that kind of stuff I enjoy, you know, but I'd rather be drawing different things. So I quickly dropped the art major, but, you know, drew my way through college anyway, you know, on the outside of classes and doing lots of theater. And then I got out of college and I did okay, I think. I mean, I was a new actor to the city, and you know, I wasn't really getting paid for a lot of the things that I was doing, but they were very rewarding. And I just felt like I just was missing that kind of visual art aspect of it, and I'd taken a lot of costume designing / costume construction classes in college as well, and I just thought, okay, well, maybe I'll be a costume designer. So I did that for a while, and I loved it, because then I thought, that's a nice hybrid of visual and performance art. And then I picked up, I was temping, and I was still trying to do the theater thing, you know, both kind of auditioning and doing costume design, and I picked up for like $3.99 Chuck Jones's Chuck Redux at, you know, at one of those Barnes & Nobles or Borders sales.
I pronounce
where
they it have... Chew
Redo. Oh, I like that. Although that sounds a little more like Star Wars to me.
Yes, or how to masticate again.
I was going the Wookiee route.
Fired.
Did you just fire him?
Yeah.
Excellent. Drop down menu. Yeah. Fire. But I picked it up and I read it and I was like, oh my gosh. And just something seemed to kind of click. And I realized it's animation that's the hybrid between performance art and visual art.
Aha!
That's the one.
Interesting.
And so I kind of reported this to a bunch of my friends, and they all kind of said, you know, in unison, it seemed like in my mind, well, it's about time. And one of my friends even sent me some letters that I had sent her when I was doing summer stock, you know, when I was still in college. And it said, you know, maybe I want to work in animation. And another friend of mine, the music director at the summer stock theater, and I were buddies. And the whole time we were there, he's like, let me write a Disney musical and you can draw the pictures, you can animate it. And it's so funny. I mean, now all of these things, they just started rolling back to me, and it just kind of seemed to all make sense. So then is this really tremendously boring?
No.
Okay. So then I decided that I would kind of delve into the history of animation, and so I got you know, it's the Leonard Maltin book
that right I just, yeah, what's it called?
Isn't it Of Mice and... No, it's not no, Of Mice no. and Men. That's Steinbeck.
Is it Of Mouse and Men?
I think it's Of Mouse and Men.
Okay, so maybe
or
it's...
Of Mouse and Man.
The 12 Angry Men.
We'll see. 12 Angry Birds.
Oh.
It's Angry Birds, the coffee table book.
Whatever. It's the Leonard Maltin animation book, and I read that, and I read Alan Neuwirth's Makin' Toons, and then...
Who?
He is a writer who wrote this animation
Baby
book.
Baby Neuwirth's father.
Oh, probably.
he's
Isn't
a
it BB.
It is BB Newer.
No, I'm talking about Bebe.
Oh, Bebe.
Oh, Bebe Newer.
She's That's a hooker.
Okay.
No relation to Alan Newer. He's a writer, but he just happened to write this animation book. He also writes for TV and stuff. But read his book, and then I got, you know, Beckerman's The Whole Story, and I just started in Dick Williams, the Animation Survival Kit. Mm-hmm. I just kind of just started reading
Dick?
Everything. I don't know him personally. Okay. That was presumptuous.
Okay. No, that was that felt good.
Mr. Richard Williams.
Okay.
Anyway, I got That's all fire. Of these things and just started kind of reading like crazy, and then I did the classes that I had mentioned before, and then saw on AWN, the website, Animation World Network,
What's
if
that?
You don't know it.
We don't know that.
And there was a job listing for a small studio, and they needed an office manager. Mm-hmm. And so I went in for the interview and got it the same day, got the job. And so it was like everything happened rapid fire. It was great. And because the studio was so small, you know, they had me do some storyboards, and that was really cool for me. And
studio?
It is still called So Animation. And
in New York City.
Mm-hmm. It was on 23rd Street. I'm not sure if they're still there, right across from the SVA building. And
so did you just walk out of class and go across the street and get the job?
I was actually in another branch of SVA.
Oh, okay.
But it would have been lovely that way. Special worms? Do you say special worms?
Special victims unit.
Oh, special victims unit. Yeah, special victims unit. And so that was great. And they I'm wrapping this up, I swear. They didn't really have, you know, big ideas or you know, viewpoints on who they wanted to come in and do animation for them. And so I had met William and Francis Krause and Michael Overbeck and Jim Mortensen and brought them all in. And we did various animation there. And it wasn't a tremendously long job, but... I think it was great, and it was a nice start.
Learned a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So ground floor approached.
As office manager, you mean?
Yeah. You were there.
I was there.
Okay. Then what happened?
And then then I left there, and I went back to temping, because that's what actors do. And I got a call from Dave Levy, and he said that there was this Disney pilot that he was going to be working on, and they needed a replacement production coordinator. So I took that job with Buzz Potamkin, who is maybe the best
Mandy's brother. Is that Mandy's brother?
Not. Oh. But he was the production manager for Hanna-Barbera for 1,000 years, and maybe the best boss I've ever had. Mm. And he... was terrific to work under, and what was really neat about that was that, and don't throw things at me, okay, when I'm about to say this, but we did all the production in New York except for the animation. We shipped it to Korea.
That's okay.
It's the way of the world.
It's the way of the world. It's fine.
Mm, yeah.
Not okay.
It's not really okay, but it was great for me to learn that aspect of it so that then I could go to the next job and say, you can ship it to Korea, but let me tell you the advantages mm-hmm. of keeping it here in New York,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I learned a lot just by kind of being that international liaison. So that was neat for me. And we also did stuff the old school way. We had X sheets.
Wow.
Cells.
We had turnarounds, not cells.
Did you have X files too?
Hmm?
Do you have X files as well?
Only at night.
Did you chew up flowers and spit them on cave walls?
No.
For pigmentation?
We should have, though. But we stomped a lot of grapes and drank a lot of wine.
good.
Oh.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
But it was neat. We had X sheets. We had, you know, model sheets, things like that, and stuff that I'd never, you know, mouth poses and things like that mm-hmm. that aren't embedded in your Flash or your After Effects file is, you know, it was neat. It was neat to work that way. So, finished up that job and had learned a tremendous amount, and I'm so grateful. And then worked on Wonder Pets season one.
Mm.
And then after that, and met a lot of great people, a lot of great animators, designers. And after that, I went for a year. Fran called and said, "Hey, Linda, I'm going to be going to France for a week. Will you come and be an animator for me and, you know, be my replacement?" And I said, sure. So I went and did this animation for a week while Fran was in France. And they said, "Well, we really loved having you here." This is at Mechanism Digital. It's a mm-hmm. great studio. And
Mech Dig.
And they said, "We'd love to keep you around, but we don't have anything but a producer job." And I said, "That's kind of what I do in real life." And so they said, "Really? Because we've got, you know, 20 episodes for History Channel of Engineering and Empire. We'd love to have you do it." And I said, "Okay." So I spent a year there. Very hard work. Tremendously rewarding. It's the best feelings I have towards a job.
What the hell does a producer do?
Mm.
This is my
theory.
What
do you people
do?
What do you people... I've worked with you all my life.
I kind of feel like producer, because everybody knows pretty much, or I think that the titles of production coordinator, associate producer, coordinating producer, they're all production manager. Mm-hmm. They're all pretty much the same thing.
Right.
Because I feel like and I'm not saying I'm the best producer in the world, but what my kind of goal in honing my producer craft, or honing the skill and then really cultivating the craft, is really being true to myself and figuring out what essentially I bring to the table that's to a great advantage to the production. And I basically just bring that from production to production. And
what is your specific skill set that you bring that's unique to you?
Well, it changes with every job, because I feel like every job I learn more, and I find a little bit more that's interesting.
And when you're working with different people, you have to use different skills.
Yeah, because, you know, you get people who really feel strongly that they want to do this part of it. And if that's something that you're used to doing, you know, scheduling, for example, if somebody's really, really good at that and they want to do it, then, you know, I kind of allow my scheduling, you know, instincts to kind of lie dormant, just because there's no sense in fighting somebody to do a task. So I feel like good producers come in and say, "I have this roster of tasks. Which ones do you need?" Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and basically just allow yourself to kind of fill the holes that aren't being taken up by other people on the production. And I mean, I don't know if I get it right all the time, but that's my goal, is to come in and try my best to be flexible.
Would you recommend to people who are thinking about animation as a activity/job for their life?
Yeah.
A hobby?
What is it, like skiing?
Or tiddlywinks.
All right.
Would you recommend that they try a lot of different things in the animation commercial TV film studio structure?
What do you mean by many different things?
I know people.
Oh, good.
I know.
I don't think that's true.
Two people. My mother.
And me.
And Alan.
And you barely know me.
Who just think, "I want to be just an animator." Do you think that in a place like New York City, with how animation is working nowadays, with a lot of freelance, that perhaps you might want to stretch out a little bit and see other roles, other things, test them out?
I think it behooves you to do so. Okay. to stretch out, to make sure, at least at the very least, to make sure you're familiar with things, to make sure that you know that there are two editing systems that are primarily used, you know, Final Cut and Avid. If you don't know that, you're going to sound like a schmo, you know?
Although, in a year you may not, you might say Premiere Pro, yo, that's it.
It's true. There is that. There is the Premiere as well. Yeah, but no, I mean,
I don't like it.
Final Cut's going away.
No, I don't like it.
You don't like Final Cut?
I just don't like Premiere Pro.
I don't like it either, but Final Cut's giving us no choice.
I don't like the alliteration. It's just...
It's too much, too many P's.
Yeah, too many P's.
Too many P's in there.
I have a fear of
P's. What about FCP?
That's a little bit better, because it's kind of like
FTP.
Or PCP. And,
or TP.
Right.
Remember when soft image was soft image and then it went to XSI?
I always said soft image.
Oh,
I know.
Poor Joel.
I can never get it through my Nebraska head.
I always said soft damage.
I want from now on, if you take nothing away from this podcast, for everybody to call it soft image instead of soft image or soft image.
What's the name of that French
software
company that hosts a lot of animation? The answer is Canal Plus, not Canal Plus. They will tar and feather and run you out of France on a rail if you say Canal Plus. Anyway, what show are you currently working on, and what are you doing?
I am the production manager on a great new preschool show, or relatively new preschool show, called Team Umizoomi.
Mm.
It's got a math curriculum. It's lovely. It's got terrific music. Some of the best kids TV music I know.
STEM. Are we talking STEM curriculum here? Science, technology, engineering, mathematics.
I guess it is STEM.
You electric.
Nicely done.
Somebody's done some educational animation.
Yeah, well done. Well done with the terms. So it's great. And I don't know how I, with the new ASIFA presidency thing, because ASIFA has a ton of events. I mean, so, I don't know how I'm going to manage my schedule.
Speaking of the your new title. Hmm. Do we have to call? Are you going to make us all call you Madam President from now on?
Just you boys.
All right,
Madam.
Did you have to fight Dave Levy?
And I call him Super Dave Levy, by the way.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you have to? Was there like
feat of strength challenge, kind of like Double Dare?
Was there a Spock Kirk kind of battle in a
mock time?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the name of the episode, for those of you who are curious about that.
I was, thank you.
Is that French, too?
It's not. Amok it's like time. Run... It's like No, it's you like may. Run amok.
Oh, okay.
Amok
time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow. So the gauntlet was passed from Super Dave Levy to you in a ceremony involving what?
Well, it was
an email.
Not...
Right.
Nobody... I don't mean to, you know, add a spoiler in here, but in that episode of Star Trek...
Wait, you're spoiling it. It was on 40 years ago. Yeah, go ahead.
I really hope that this is the community I can feel confident has watched every episode of the original Star Trek.
Of course,
and if not,
of course.
please go
don't
to Netflix
listen to
or
our
Hulu.
Podcast.
Mm-hmm. you know, one of them is... It's a Romeo and Juliet moment, of course, where there's the... Everybody thinks... Somebody is dead. Somebody is not dead.
Mm. Mm-hmm,
there was nothing like that with the Dave Levy Linda Beck handoff.
Okay, so it wasn't.
But in
like
every,
Spock
you know, in every corrupt political scenario,
ASIFA, no exception.
Ooh, I'm just kidding.
I want the dirt. Give me the dirt.
I think I can't speak for Dave, but you know what he told me was that he's done it
try
for.
It. Try it out. Try his voice.
Super Dave.
Come on.
I can't do a Dave Levy voice.
Joel, you
would do better because you have great puns, just like Dave Levy.
He's very punny.
He
do Fran Krause doing Dave Levy.
I can do a better Will Krause than
Will
I can Krause do
Fran Krause. Doing Fran Krause doing Dave Levy.
Passing
the torch.
Have you ever seen Fran do Will? That's one of my favorite. Or Will do Fran.
Yeah. It creates a black hole.
It does.
Yeah.
You have to hold on to something sturdy or you disappear.
So the passing of the torch, what happened?
The passing of the torch.
The corruption involved.
Yes, the corruption and the burning of villages and things like that. Dave had done it for 11 years, and Deb Solomon had just sent us an email recently saying, Debbie is an animation director, animator.
We're Facebook friends.
She's terrific. She's so much fun and so talented and such a great voice in our community. And
what's her voice like?
She's a singer and has a really great cadence to her voice that's a little like this.
Yeah.
And she...
That sounded just like your voice.
Wow.
Did it?
Yeah, I'm going to have to DS the crap out of that. But anyway, go ahead. So the passing
well,
of the...
She has a great speech pattern. You should interview her.
I can't wait to talk to her.
Let's get her on the show.
But she had sent an email saying just this past year that, you know, ASIFA was so busy with events and it just seemed like, you know, our voice was so loud in the animation community in New York as of late that it was like we were turbocharged. And I really feel like that is the result of Dave's dedication to the presidency and to the organization, is that we just got tremendously busy and tremendously prolific with events and panels and workshops and articles and blog posts and things like that. And, you know, he brought us up to this level. And I think after 11 years, he just wanted to concentrate on other things. And so he called me up and said, I've been thinking a lot. And I said, oh no, is this good or bad? And he goes, I think it's good. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'd like to, I think I'm going to step down as the CIFA president and still be on the board, but just maybe pass on the torch. And, you know, the torch had been passed from Linda Simensky to him 11 years ago. And, and that was, as I understand it, a really, great transition and great decision for both of them. Linda is amazing and was an amazing president, and as well. And so I hope that this transition goes smoothly. It is, Dave has been already very supportive and really great with the don't forget you need to do this. And I've only been president officially for I guess since June, but secretly, but publicly for, 3 or 4 days.
Whoa. So this is a hot topic.
Yeah.
What is your platform? And then what are some of the things you want to do in your presidency? And then also just what are some of the events for people who don't know what a CIFA is, who might want to join?
Sure. So, I don't really have a platform. My goal is to do my best to listen to the community and really try and be aware and open to things that the community wants and needs in the current times. Obviously, everyone's concerned about jobs. That never goes away, but I think people are a little more nervous about it now, just because it seems like it's not just our community that's being hit by a job lack.
Divot.
Yes.
Are you planning on introducing any kind of special legislation to inject tax cuts into the workforce so that...
We have tried.
Yeah.
We have tried to do that. And we hit a brick wall, and that was... I'm not joking about this. We really did try. The whole Made in New York campaign is great. They have a great logo, for one thing. They give out great little buttons and stickers. And so we went to they invited ASIFA to come to one of their events a year or two ago. And the question that we had for them, we said, well, this is great, but, we're filmmakers. And, there are a few things in the U.S. that are truly American art forms. Jazz, apple pie, baseball, musical theater, Mickey Mouse.
Fucking Mickey Mouse. You know what? I'm tired of Disney. I've had it with Disney.
Have you?
So tired of Disney. Go the fuck away.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I've had it. I've had enough. Enough. I'm done.
Like
the Walt Disney worshipping has got to stop. It's got to stop. The dude's dead.
Have you seen Waking Sleeping Beauty?
No, don't care.
And what is it? Wake Up, Little Dreamer?
Nah, I don't give a shit.
Donald Duck's World War II propaganda films?
Don't care.
I think you should give those a try.
No, I can't.
But they're not.
Would ruin my indie rock star animator reputation.
It would take your edge away.
I think we're doomed ever since... James Stewart Blackton. Anything pre-Blackton, great. Post-Blackton, I don't know.
I'm not going to get involved in this argument. But wait, let me go back for a second, though, and say I am not actually by nature political in any way, but I want to go back to the legislation thing for a second and just say what we were told was we need a number. We need a solid number of how many animators are working in New York in order to see whether or not this is something that we should put efforts into. And what I'm talking about with the efforts is, how there's a film, you can get a tax break if you film in New York. This is the whole Made in New York thing. But hasn't that been cut down?
I don't know.
I don't know because I don't work in live action, really, so I don't know. But they basically said, somebody called one of the political offices to ask how we could move forward with this. And was told this is not a good time, just so you know, this is not going to go anywhere. But if you get the numbers, that will help your cause. So, ASIFA has just under 300 members. Asifa East. Sorry. Asifa East has just under 300 members. That's a large portion of the community, but it's only a fraction of the people working in New York. I don't right. think either one of you are Asifa members, right?
No. I support it.
He doesn't work in New York. I do.
I encourage you to join Asifa. Just,
I know.
For one thing, we have a great blog, and our events are all on the blog. If you go to...
I take part in the events. I've been on several, but I've been on a couple of panels.
You have? You were just recently on a panel.
And it was great.
You've been on two panels very recently.
I have.
Alan Foreman.
Yeah, he's a celebrity.
You get discounts with your Asifa East membership to certain things.
You do. I know Ottawa. Mm-hmm. You definitely get a discount if you're an Asifa member. And I think, does Annecy give a discount too?
I think so.
They do.
And also, if you order any cell paint at Cartoon Color in LA.
For those people using cell paint?
Yeah.
Honestly, I still have a bottle of cell paint.
For those person using
cell
paint?
Yeah, those person.
And what about at Key Foods? Does it get you discounts at Key Foods?
You could try it.
Okay.
So, what is the blog?
The blog is, if you go to asifaeast.com, there's a link to the blog, our exposure sheet, it's called. It's a funny little animation joke.
I love it.
But the events vary from, panels. We had one behind the electric company that was really great. Alan was on that. Mm-hmm. And those are really informative, and I think the great thing about animation, the animation community, is that everybody's kind of behind the scenes, really, who's the celebrities are the characters, and seeing the people on the panel, we had a Super Jail panel too, which was really great. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of think those hipsters who make Super Jail are so inaccessible, and then you see them and they're really amiable guys.
They're nerds. We're all nerds.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, and it's great. You just kind of, it's also nice to see a little bit of celebration about the people who are behind the scenes.
Right.
It's nice to give them a little bit of a spotlight, and they deserve it. All of you deserve it, And I think it's so easy to not really delve into who is animating the scene, who's acting that scene, because mm-hmm. that's what the animators mm-hmm. are doing, or whose vision is the umbrella of the entire project.
Yeah.
So that's what Asifa tries to do. That Asifa tries to celebrate the artists in a unique way, and provide resources for the community. And, something that I'm trying to meet with people individually, just to kind of hear, all right, well, Asifa's been around for 40 some years now, and that's terrific, but, is there anything we're missing out on? Is there any hole that we're not filling? Is there any skill that's missing?
Now, two final topics.
Yes.
One is Ottawa. Are you going, and are you excited? And the other one is, what you think about the resourcefulness of people who go to RISD.
Ottawa, I wouldn't miss it. The only time I have recently missed it was because I had just given birth to a young human.
Oh, a human.
Nice. Yes. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I had a human. I know, Alan, you were saying that you were having a conversation about RISD.
Yes, the other night.
With, resourcefulness.
It wasn't so much about resourcefulness as it was about this particular friend of mine who went to SVA was just talking about how we're just everywhere in New York, the RISD kids, because I happened to be with him and another RISD friend of mine, and he said, Jesus Christ, they're everywhere. You people, all my jobs are with RISD kids. And I can't explain it other than that we fucking own this town.
My whole life is surrounded by a RISD kid.
Me, I know. It's
can't get away from
so
it myself.
Yeah.
But what's funny is that you guys are everywhere. It's true. I mean, everywhere, whether it's design or animation. And oftentimes I will hear, or I'll say, that's a really great film. Where did you go to school? Or where did she go to school? And it's oftentimes RISD. Mm. They train. There's a class at RISD, I think. Mm-hmm. Or a secret brother-sisterhood on self-promotion by subtle dishonesty. Signing up to or getting a job teaching a class on a subject you have no idea about, and mm-hmm. then just going to get a book and all of a sudden being an expert.
Yeah.
and excelling at it. And that's the key. It's like, you guys, it's got to be a confidence thing and a self-motivation thing and perhaps just a kind of edginess.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, do you want to know the secret?
Because we had a great education.
We are... Sorry. There, during our junior year, after we've taken Animation 1, Film 1, Video 1, as you're working on your next project, you line up, and there's... they call it the room. All right?
Joel, we're not supposed to talk about this. You realize
you line up.
You realize what you're doing right now.
One at a time, you go into.
You realize I won't be able to ever talk to you again if you do this.
They're going to take away your membership pin.
Do you know what happens when a balloon is full of.
Joel, you've said too much.
You know, it could be that we might be more bored, more depressed, more lonely than other people.
Oh.
So we put that into. That's like every great writer as well.
Well, you wouldn't know it because
they make
because
you,
of the community you all have imported.
But the school, the school creates those things that, by putting you in small rooms away from society and making you work at night for
yeah,
4 months.
That's kind of true.
So, Linda Beck.
Yes, sir.
It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you for being here. And we will hear more from you, I'm sure, in the future, either on our show or just because of the... what you exude into the world of animation.
I think we should do a recap and see how Asifa's going after your first year of your term.
Maybe join us after your first term. Mm. 100 days in office.
Yeah, 100 days. We should do the 100 days in office fireside chat.
We'll put it in the calendar. And meanwhile, if anybody who is listening has any great positive suggestions for Asifa, please email me at AsifaEastPresident@gmail.com.
Damn.
We'll put that up on our website.
Do you get a jacket with a special Asifa East presidential seal?
It's satin.
Do you get security detail?
Oh, I always have security detail.
All right.
It's an imaginary bunny and an imaginary squirrel.
Do they have guns?
They don't need them.
Okay. No, they're tough.
Oh, yeah. Fangs. Binocula. Linda Beck, everybody.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Theater, be nice. Okay. And yes, I didn't want to say and scene.
Right.
She talked about dramaturgy.
Right.
Dramaturgy has now declared that that's officially over.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You they can no longer say and scene.
Really? Why?
It's
what do you say instead?
Overused. You put your arms up like an X, and you say done.
You don't say like friends are out.
You can say friends are out. I'm just when I do it, I'm gonna say X up, arms across my head, above my head as an X. And actually, I'm gonna make the sound from Family Feud.
Okay,
I'm just gonna go.
It's good.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay. So, listeners,
if
you are going to the Ottawa International Animation Festival 2011.
OIAF.
The very environmental situation that spawned this podcast.
Yeah.
We also will be there, we mentioned.
That's
We want to see you.
You.
If you're there.
There.
And we want to see you just in general.
We plus you plus there equals.
Weirder.
Fun.
Fun, exactly. Alan and I are going to be walking about the festival. Come up and say hello.
Have a beer with us.
Have a beer. Have
maybe
a poutine.
Some poutine.
Have a beaver tail.
Beaver tail.
Have some maple syrup. And
wear your best denim jacket.
Mm-hmm. Get your Iditarod sled and join us for animation talk and talking about animation.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to also be... at the closing ceremonies,
that's right?
Like we've probably mentioned before, we have very little plug these days.
Yeah, we
you understand.
Really aren't doing anything.
So that'll be Sunday, September 25th.
Yep.
Come to the show. Afterwards, there'll be book signings. We'll take photos. We'll
sign your
sign
baby.
boobs, and
butts.
baby boobs. And
thank God that's legal in Canada.
I mean, they're into that. And you can ask us questions or give us statements just point.
I won't be taking any questions at that point.
Alan is going to be the teller in this situation.
As in Penn and Teller?
No, like a bank teller.
Okay.
You can just make a transaction, but do not verbally say anything. Okay. Otherwise, it's invalid.
All right.
Alan?
Joel?
I'll see you there.
Okay. Sounds like fun. And scene.
And...